Welcome to a special series of Farmers Inside Track, where we dive deep into the autumn 2025 edition of APSA AgriTrends. In this special episode, we're joined by APSA's powerhouse agricultural economists, Marleen Lowe, Kensani Mashimbi, and Zama Sangweni, as they unpack the latest shifts in global trade. Together with Food for Mzanzi co-founder Ivor Price, they explore President Donald Trump's tariffs, evolving US policies, the shifting landscape in the EU, and China's changing role in global markets. Stay tuned as we dive into the key insights that are shaping the future of South African agriculture.
Ladies, I'm always greatly inspired by the great diversity of agricultural careers, and all three of you are agricultural economists. I'm wondering how you ended up in this space. Why are you doing what you're doing? Kenzie, maybe we start with you.
So mine is actually so interesting because I come from a village in Limpopo. My neighbors always had goats. And somehow my mom would always find me at that fence playing with those animals. So I always knew that the route I want to take is through livestock and agriculture. But I hate blood, so it was not going to be a vet or any doctor route. So I ended up choosing agricultural economics when I went to university, and I've loved it ever since.
But I promise, your marks were great enough to become a doctor.
They were great enough. And there were a few people that tried to convince me, but I was going to faint. Every time I see blood, no, it doesn't work out for me.
Marleen, what's it about you in agricultural economics? How did you end up in this space?
By grace. So I am a city girl, born and bred. And after the first year studying human resources management, I realized that wasn't for me. And then I heard if you're an agri-economist, you can trade on SAFEX, and SAFEX is only open from 9 to 12. So that sounded very appealing. Regardless to say, I never got to any trading platform, but agriculture has been very good to me. I got to pursue a career as an economist in the sector, and still loving it.
Trading's loss was agriculture's gain. Zama?
I think similar to Marleen, I'm also a city girl. I've never actually been exposed to any homestead setup. So for me, it was just the curiosity around how food is being produced. And yeah, I think that's what sort of influenced me to go into agri-economics.
So we are discussing the latest report just released by APSA. It's called the Autumn 2025 Report of APSA AgriTrends. Of course, it outlines the latest economic shifts affecting South African agriculture. One of the biggest shocks comes from the United States of America, President Donald Trump. And every morning I wake up, I check my feed, it seems there's another decree. Trumponomics has become a thing?
Yeah, definitely, Ivor. What a guy. Say what you might about that guy, but just one tweet and the economy shakes. So it's really interesting times. He's added an extra layer to the complexity which our business find themselves. But interesting to note there is his stance specifically with China. Those are giants in the market. So whatever happens, whatever movements that happen there, it shakes the globe. So what we've seen, because China is a leading importer of some of the agricultural commodities that come from the U.S., we've seen that through this ping-pong tariffs, China has retaliated, specifically impacting agricultural imports. So trade dynamics have changed with opportunities with countries such as Brazil seizing the opportunity. We've seen increased production in terms of soybeans there. And over the last 10 years, soybean production for Brazil has now increased. It's said to have increased 40% more than the U.S. in 2025. So trade dynamics definitely shifted in that regard.
So it's clear that if the U.S. sneezes, we all get a cold. And I love that you called it a stunt and ping pong. You know, I can visualize it. I'm not sure if the Honorable President will like it. But the report talks about direct and indirect effects of Trump's tariffs. The direct impact is higher costs and trade disruptions. That's very clear from the latest APSA AgriTrend report. But what about the indirect effects, Kenzie? And how do these tariffs affect investment, the rand, the economy in South Africa?
Yeah, definitely. As I've alluded, it brings an opportunity. I've mentioned the soybean story with Brazil seizing that opportunity. But another interesting thing to note is the wine industry. So he didn't just target or it didn't just impact China. So he also imposed tariffs on Canada and Mexico. And what Canada did, interestingly, is that immediately after, in some provinces, they took out the liquor stock from their shelves. And that's a big market. It's, I think, around $500 million. But South Africa already has a foot in there. So it presents an opportunity. We could seize that opportunity if it's done right. But for the markets, interestingly, is how it's impacting the rand. So initially, at the beginning of the year, as we waited to see how his stance is going to take after his election towards China, the rand depreciated to about 19.22, but then that quickly changed with the markets responding to his stance on the, as I mentioned, the ping pong tariffs. So now the outlook is for a more, I would say, deteriorating outlook for the U.S. economy that has weakened the dollar. So now the outlook is for the rand. I mean, the rand has appreciated since then. So there is room for appreciation, but gradually, though. The problem with that is that uncertainty abounds. So it could go either way, you know, depending on how this issue evolves. We could see the rand depreciating, but not to levels of 1950 rand per dollar that we saw earlier because of
prudential
limits. Yeah, but I would have to give credit to our APSA strategy team that does extensive work on the macroeconomics. So they do extensive work on this. So yeah.
So I think the story that Kenzie touched on there is really the levels that we could see once we know what Trump's stance will be towards South Africa and the trade protocol. So we always get the question, how low can we go? And I think to Kenzie's point, our strategy office supports us there in terms of kind of gauging that limit, in which she rightly pointed to as 1950 due to prudential limits kind of breaking anything that goes above that for the rand. So our official view is a gradual depreciation over the course of 2025, but definitely we are aware of that upside risk, that depreciation that could come once we know about things like AGOA and the trade dispensation towards South Africa.
The world of politics is, of course, vastly different from the world of economics. I know our government at the moment very cautious not to anger President Trump. They're careful about what they say on social media, etc., etc. But we are a resilient bunch. I've seen how South Africa Wine, for example, is starting to explore opportunities in Canada after they took off their liquor of the shelves, and we know the wine market already doing great there. Is the agricultural sector already changing their strategies to adjust to the Trump effect, Kenzie?
What I would say is that we personally, within our team, have dedicated days to try to unpack this on Tuesdays at 2. So we try and unpack what uncertainties or the levels of uncertainties that come with the ever-changing environment. But Marlene, I don't know if you can elaborate on...
No, we call it Trump Tuesdays.
Trump Tuesdays.
Yes.
And I think it just points to, we had to schedule time in our diaries to really sit down and kind of do a stock take of what happened in the week. And then also think through what the implications could be for our industry and some of our clients.
Well, at this point, I think we need Trump Mondays and Tuesdays and Wednesdays, because there are just so many sound clips, so many views, so many decrees coming out. Which farming sectors are most at risk, though?
Our high-value export crops, citrus, nuts, dry fruit, fruit juices, those are the tariff lines that we currently access duty-free. And so like I said, we access most of these markets in structured supermarket programs. So we don't foresee erratic shift from the supply chains into other countries. But I think the risk is always there if the cost or the incidence becomes too high that countries would need to reconsider where they source from.
So Zama, the US clearly very important, but so is the European Union. We've seen delegations in South Africa in the last couple of weeks. We've seen pledges, money coming into South Africa following Trump's announcements. What are the latest trade challenges, though, with Europe?
Thanks, Ivo. I think if you consider what's been happening in Europe for the past few years, you'll note that there has been suppressed GDP growth. So those economies or those countries in the EU are not performing as well as your other big global giants, for example, China and maybe the USA itself. So that does pose a demand sort of issue for us. We worry whether or not the EU would be able to keep up with those high demands because we export a lot of high value products into the region. I think, again, another important factor to highlight would be overregulation. So the EU is very strict. If you monitor what's been happening in the past 5 years, you'll note that there has been an increased focus on sustainability. So sending, again, high-value products into those markets is becoming increasingly difficult. We've seen some of our producers spending more money on compliance just to get market access. So we are keeping track of what's happening in Europe. Not everything has been smooth sailing, but those are some of the challenges that we're keeping a close eye on to see, are these escalating, and then to determine whether are we going to grow as South Africa in some of those markets.
So you touched on legislation.
Yeah.
And every day there's a new rule in Europe. Is it making it harder for South Africans to export our products? Is that what you say?
Yes, it is. I think My opinion would be there is an impact because if you overregulate markets, you're putting barriers to for other countries to export products into that. For Marlene, I think if I remember, citrus was an issue at a certain point in time, but it just makes it more difficult. For example, if we look at what we're doing with high value products in Far East and Middle East, I think those markets have lower compliance or phytosanitary requirements, which makes it easier for us to send products into those markets. So it does pose a challenge for us.
And I think it has two elements to it. The first is obviously the compliance cost to the producer, but then also compliance within the EU is actually something that's highlighted by analysts as a growth impeding factor. So what does that mean for purchasing power into the future for the countries in that block?
So we're talking about the giants. We touched on the US with McKinsey. We went into the European Union. The other big player is, of course, China. Is China the silver bullet we've been waiting for? China has a great relationship with South Africa, controversial relationship at times. But the country has been key for South Africa's export growth. Is that still the case?
So I think since the early 2000s, we've actually seen South Africa pinning a lot of its export growth hopes on China. And to some extent, that has manifested, but we are seeing a slowdown for several reasons. And I think once we kind of get deeper into the different commodities, we'll highlight that. But at the moment, there are some structural concerns about the Chinese economy as well. So really what underpins this is the property sector or the real estate sector that has not been performing well. It's closely linked to how the Chinese culturally perceive wealth. So a lot of Chinese households have real estate in their portfolio. It's also closely tied to how local governments earn their revenue. And so given the issues that we've seen there, some of the big property developers actually going bust, like Evergrande, that poses a bit of a structural risk to growth in China. We've seen since last year a lot of stimulus packages and policies being implemented, and we haven't yet seen a turnaround. So The performance out of the Far East is more lackluster than what we would have wanted it to be. It's not just a demand issue. We'll touch on some of the supply issues later, but there is definitely a conservative view around consumption in China. You can see it in their expenditure figures as well, in their inflationary figures, which you're actually seeing declining prices. So definitely some concerns around the Chinese consumer and their ability and willingness to consume. And the products that we're exporting to China is typically your higher value goods. So there again, that cautiousness might come into play for the products that we export.
So believe it or not, one of the publications that I try to read is the China Morning Post. It's a great newspaper. If you want to read widely, read the China Morning Post, British Guardian, New York Times. But from that publication, it's clear that China's got this huge drive to now grow its own food. And I'm wondering what that means for South Africa. Will demand for South African produce and products be shrinking?
So in short, the name of the game is quality. So if you want to keep on playing in those markets, we need to make sure that we have outstanding quality. I think we are seeing local volumes in China coming online, and that reducing some of the opportunities for some of the products that we export them. Macadamias comes to mind. Yeah. So definitely macadamias and grapes. We'll touch on the grapes issues also, but I think these big Eastern markets that were always net importers are now sorting out their production dynamics, and slowly but surely that exporting drive will come to the fore, or at least they'll be in a position to service their local demand better.
Should we be looking at other Asian markets or focus on processed goods instead of raw exports?
So I think there's always merit in processing, but there it's a complex issue, right? You need to really have a conducive environment in order to be able to compete. Other markets is definitely the lower hanging fruit. Yeah. So, and I think what we are finding very encouraging is that our organized agriculture is supporting government in order to access markets. So other Asian markets is definitely an agenda that we should pursue aggressively. Yeah.
And I guess what has been happening, or what has grown to gain attention with analysts and other economists in the markets, is the need to deepen our trade and look at new export opportunities, because focusing on specific areas is a concentration risk in itself for South Africa. So that is definitely top of mind for us. Like Marlene said, there is a concerted effort to work on that in South Africa. So that's encouraging.
That wraps up today's deep dive into global trade shifts. A big thank you to APSA's Marlene Lowe, Kensani Mashimbi, Zama Sangweni, and Ivor Price for their expert insights. Remember, you can download the full APSA AgriTrends Autumn 2025 report for free at foodformzanzi.co.za/AgriTrends. Stay informed, stay ahead, and keep tuning in for more from this special series.